beginning of the Mishnah now in Brachos, Perek Zion. Shlosha she'achlu ki achas, chayavin lezamein. Three who ate as one are obligated to be mezamein, to do zimun. Let's just pause on that. This is a statement that requires clarification. So one of the questions, of course, is what does it mean ka'achas? That is not as simple as it seems. You see that there's a machlokas among the Rishonim. They ate as one. So loosely translated, it means they ate together. But there's all kinds of questions. What does it mean they ate together? Was it a planned phenomenon? Did they, were they conveying this meal in advance? Or no, they just happened to get together. Could it be something in which you're eating in a park at a picnic table, and then another person comes, and then a third person comes, or even if they're total strangers, but as long as they're obviously three Jews, I mean, the Mishnah is going to talk about which people can be included in the Zimun. So it's not clear from the Mishnah, but obviously it's a big issue in terms of the Rishonim. And then the next term that has to be explained is Lazamein. What does that mean, Lazamein? So let's pause for a second on that one. What does that mean? In effect, this is something very unexpected, because we all know that if you eat a meal of course means bread. At least a kezayis, midrabanan. You eat a kezayis of bread, it's a meal, and you have to do birkat hamazon. That we all know. So what's the difference? How many people are involved in this? It's a singular mitzvah. If you eat alone, you have to do birkat hamazon. But now we see that something occurs. Something happens when three people eat ka'achas. There's some type of a joining together that's going on. And it's referred to as zimun. Let's see if we can nail it down specifically. How many elements are there in the zimun? How many elements? All right, we're doing the Rambam now in Hilchos Brachos Perigei. Halacha Aleph. Nashim v'yavadim chayavin b'birkas hamazon. Women and slaves are obligated in birkas hamazon. It cannot be talking about an eved ivri, because it would not make any sense to say that an eved ivri is chayiv in birkas hamazon. An eved ivri is a Jew. And even though if he's sold by Bezdin because he's committed a crime, he stole and he can't repay, or if he sold himself because of his poverty, in either case, the status has not changed vis-a-vis mitzvahs. So, of course, he has to bench. That wouldn't constitute any kind of a chiddush at all. He wouldn't have to say that. Therefore, he cannot be talking about an Eved Ivri. He can't be talking about a Jewish Eved. So, therefore, it's talking about an Eved Kenani, a Gentile slave. And that's the term Eved, as I said, when you translated it slave, it applies more to the situation, the institution of an Eved Kenani. If once you study the institution of Eved Ivri, it's not really slavery. It's the same word, but the word can be translated more of a servant. It's basically, as the Rambam said, he's like a sacher, he's like a hired worker. It's essentially the rights of his work, but he doesn't really own him. And he has to treat him with the greatest of dignity, as we learned. So therefore it's talking about a Kenani. But once you say that it's talking about a Kenani, another question, another issue arises that at least has to be dealt with, which is, on the other hand, they're talking about a Gentile. If it's a Gentile, since when is a Gentile obligated in mitzvahs? Other than the seven Noahide laws, to the best of my recollection, doesn't include Birkat HaMazon. The Eved Kenani, the institution, is not as people think it is. It's not a denigration of people and you turn them into property. People approach it with the wrong idea because we associate it with what we're familiar with in American history, which is brutalization of people, which of course is contrary to the Torah. This institution is one which elevates the individual, very high level. Indeed, if someone owns an Eved Kenani and sets the Eved free, male or female, then that person, upon being set free, is automatically Jewish without any conversion. Well, how is that possible? You can't just magically make somebody into a Jew, and conversion is a very serious thing. So in a way of putting it, the becoming an Eved is sort of a transition. It's a transitional state between being a Gentile, which is a lower level, obviously, and certainly the average Gentile that we're going to deal with is essentially an Akum, is an idol worshiper. True it is that all Gentiles are obligated to forsake idolatry and to adopt the seven Noahide laws. And that's a very high status for a Gentile, and if they cling to them, then we treat them with the greatest respect, and they could be a resident in the land of Israel, and they have a share in the world to come. So they don't have to accept Torah and mitzvot. They do have to accept Torah, though. That is to say that they are obligated to accept these mitzvot on the basis of the foundation of their conviction that the Torah, which was given to us, is the only authentic revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which contains two systems. One, Taryag, which pertains to the Jewish people, and God's legislation for all mankind, which is the seven Noahide laws. Outside of that, there's no religion. And therefore, all religions that we know of in the world are absolutely, by definition, for those who accept the Torah, false. No foundation whatsoever. The institution, what is an Eved then? How does an Eved fit into the picture? Is he a Noahide? Is he a Jew? What is he? Is he an Akum? Is he an idol worshiper? We have different categories of people. You could have someone who's an Akum. That's a very, very low level. I'm not going to talk now in terms of the practicalities of how, if we were in a situation where we would enforce Torah law, how we would deal with an Akum, an idol worshiper, a Gentile who clings to idolatry. That's one status. Then you have, of course, the status of the righteous, so to speak. That's the term they use. The righteous Gentile. The righteous Gentile is not someone that necessarily sheltered Jews during the Holocaust. That's what the world uses the title for. I'm talking about a righteous Gentile is someone who accepts the seven Noahide laws, who accepts the Torah first. It has to be on the basis of the Torah. If he maintains the seven Noahide laws for other reasons, because he thinks they make sense or whatever, but not because he's convinced that it comes from God through the Torah, and then he's not considered to be a tzaddik, not a righteous person. And the Rambam says he's not considered a chacham either. So a person who accepts it in terms of the genuine foundation, so that's a ben Noach, Noachite, he's a tzaddik. And then you have, of course, a Jew, a ger, Tzedek, that's a real convert who now has the status of a Jew. So what's the status of an Eved Kenani? Interesting. It's sort of an intermediate status. It seems to be a transitional type of a status. Because the master, when he obtains a Eved, or male or female, if it's a male, he has to undergo circumcision. Mila and Tfila, l'shem Avdus, for the sake of Avdus. So that's a change in his status. Now, of course, a woman, it's just tefillah. So these are the same elements that constitute gerus. However, the person is not a Jew at this point. They're still a Gentile. But they have acquired, let's put it this way, a new degree of Kedusha, which makes them obligated in mitzvos, a significant amount of mitzvos, not just the seven, way beyond the seven. And the Eved is chayiv in all the mitzvos that a woman would be chayiv in. That is to say, all the negative commandments, whether they are time-bound or not time-bound. And as far as the positive commandments are concerned, mitzvah asay shelo azman groma. Positive commands that are not time-bound, they're obligated in. But if they are time-bound, they're putter from, which is the exact same status as a woman. In general, I mean, of course, one can ask a question, what about those mitzvos that a woman is chayav in, even though, in spite of the fact that they are time-bound? For example, Kriyas Megillah. Women are obligated in Kriyas Megillah. And near Hanukkah, women are obligated in that. Would this apply to an Eved Kenani as well? Since they have the same status as a woman with regard to mitzvos. But before you answer this question, so you see that this is a highly elevated state. This gives you a window, an opening in terms of the justification, the whole foundation for the institution of Avdus, which should not be compared to any other system of slavery. Misnomer. I would say that basically they would not be obligated, because those exceptional cases are due to the factor that the machayev over there is the involvement in the nes. So the Gemara says, "Af heimo hayso biyoso hanes." That it's machlok is exactly what that means, but women were either involved in the miracle or they were participants in the miracle. There's two positions on that. With regard to the same holds true with regard to Purim. Obviously, they weren't just involved; they were involved in the salvation. That's simple pshat, because the decree was to kill all men and women. Or you could say that no, that what it really means is that the exception is only when they're participants. So if they're participants, so Esther, the miracle came about through the intervention of Esther. And the same is true with regard to Hanukkah. So therefore it makes sense that Avadim simply would have to approach this from the standpoint of Mitzvah Seh Shezman Grama. Because the Machaya for them is Mitzvah. Just Mitzvah. Nothing extraneous to that. And since it's an Aseh Shezman Grama, and you can't apply the reason that they too were in this miracle, so it would seem that they're not involved. Now, what the Rambam is telling you, though, is that Nashim and Avadim, and therefore that's why you'll very frequently find these two mentioned together. It's not, other than that, it seems strange. Why are you putting the two together? Obviously, there's nothing disparaging over here, but it means from a halachic standpoint, their statuses vis-a-vis the mitzvahs are very similar. That's why in many cases you'll see Nashim and Avadim, or sometimes even Ketanim as well. So, now the Rambam is telling you that Nashim and Avadim are chayiv in Birkas HaMazon. Now, before we go further in the reading of the Rambam, what would you have said? What would you have said about that? If I asked you, should women be chayiv in Birkas HaMazon? Just to explore this a little bit further, the idea of women with regard to Birkat HaMazon. It's very, very interesting because in this Gemara we're also going to be taking up the issue of women with regard to Zimun. You know, Noshim Mezamnos Liatzman. That women can have Zimun amongst themselves. Three women who ate together, this rule would apply to them as well. It's not exactly clear whether it's just for sure, so whether they should do it, or they shouldn't do it, and so on and so forth, in terms of practice. So the Mishnah in Brachos, Daf Chaf, Nashim v'Avadim u'Ketanim, Peturin m'Kriyashma. Nashim, Avadim, and u'Ketanim. Ketanim are joined for a different, they don't fit into the same category. Ketanim are not in the category of mitzvah seh shezman grama. But they're in the category of being involved in mitzvahs from the standpoint of chinuch. So they're pater from kriyashma. We'll just focus now on the two that we're talking about, Nashim and Avadim, because we're concerned about the issue of zman grama, how it impacts with regard to certain mitzvahs. So they're pater from kriyashma. Of course, that's very obvious why they're pater from kriyashma. Why? It's a man grama. It has a set time. That is in the morning and in the evening. When you lie down, the time when you go down, and the time which is the evening, and then the time in the boker when you arise. Okay. Uminat tefillin and the tefillin. All right. So tefillin apparently is also a man grama. But there's possible reasons. Evening, Lila. Those who hold Lila's Lavzman Tefillah, so then it's only by day. Or those who hold that the Shabbos. Shabbos, it's and Yom Tov. So it's Zman Grama. The Chayav in Tefillah, and they're Chayav in Tefillah, Uvi Mezuzah, and in Mezuzah, and in Birkat HaMazon. And that's the one that we're concerned with. Okay, so let's turn to the Gemara now and see what the issue is with regard to Birkat HaMazon. Because, you see, if it's stated in the Mishnah, then it constitutes a Chiddush. The Mishnah's not going to list all the mitzvahs that women are chayiv in, obviously. They're not going to say that they're chayiv in Kibud Av V'Aim. Because, what's the point? We're chayiv in mitzvahs. So whatever the Mishnah is going to tell us about, it's got to be some kind of a controversy there, some kind of a chiddush that you might have thought otherwise. Now, again, I agree. At first glance, if you'd have asked me about Birkat HaMazon, I would have said it's pashut, pshita. What's the point? What's man grama about the birkat hamazon? It has nothing to do with time. It has everything to do with eating. The Gemara raises this kind of a question, the question of pshita. It raised it by mezuzah, for example. Yeah, mezuzah. What's this man grama about mezuzah? So if you take a look at the Gemara here, uvim mezuzah. So it studies the part which says the chayiv mezuzah. So the Gemara says pshita. It's obvious. So the Gemara says ma'od detema. I might have thought hol v'iskash l'talmud Torah, that because it is associated, it's connected, so to speak, with Talmud Torah. Rashi says, it says you shall teach these laws in the parasha about mezuzah to your children. And juxtaposed, and you shall write them. So v'limaratamosam is referring to Talmud Torah. It's teaching your children is Talmud Torah. And the juxtaposition is ksivas mezuzah, chsaftem. Al mezuzah pesecha v'sharecha. It's talking about ksivas mezuzah. So then you might have thought that there's an association, that the two are interconnected in terms of the chi of ma Talmud Torah, nashim paturos, that just like Talmud Torah, women are pater. V'yafagav z'yein hazman grama, even though Talmud Torah, well, is not zman grama. When we say zman grama, we don't mean to say that there's no other factors that would exempt the woman. We're just talking about the general rule. So the general rule, all things being equal, is if it's not zman grama, asay, which is not zman grama, the chayiv. If it's zman grama, the pat. General rule. Doesn't mean there are other mitzvahs that the Torah pat them for different reasons. Like Talmud Torah. So they're pater from Talmud Torah. They're pater from the chiv of Talmud Torah. So now you might have thought that there's a juxtaposition because it says that v'limaratem uchsaftem ma Talmud Torah nashim paturos, just like the women are pata from Talmud Torah, so too they're pata from mezuzah, even though it's not zman grama. Rachmana patrinu, that because the Torah patted them. D'chsev es b'neichem, it says you shall teach your b'neichem, your sons, v'lo b'noseichem, but not your daughters. Af mezuzah nashim paturos. So you might have thought that mezuzah too, women are pata. Kamash malan, therefore he had to teach you the nashim chayavas. D'chsev l'man yirbu yemeichem. Gavri bo'chay nashi lo bo'chayu b'tmiya. So this is interesting. Now it takes up with Birkas HaMazon, the Tachayiv and Birkas HaMazon. So the Gemara asks the same question. Pshita. It's Pashut. Obvious. Why is it obvious? It's for the reason that we just mentioned. What does that have to do with Man? So the Gemara says, no. Ma'od detema. I might have thought, Ho'a l'chsiv, since it states, B'seis ar Hashem lechem, b'erev basal lechol. That is something that Moshe told the people right before the man, before God gave the Jews the man, after the Jews had reached the Midbar Sin, and there was no food, or the people didn't see any sources of food, so they complained. So that's when God told Moshe that he would institute now the system of sustaining them through the man. And also the slav, because they complained about meat. So the expression that Moshe used was that when you see, that you'll recognize the truth, that it was God's idea to bring you into this wilderness, it's not my own. When these things happen, what do you say? B'seis Hashem lachem b'erev basal lechol. When God gives you, in the evening, meat to eat. V'lechem b'boker lisboa, and bread in the morning for lisboa, for satiation. So what do you see from this? There were different times. Didn't you say that God will give you meat and bread, and then as a result of that you'll understand that God had a plan, that this is not haphazard? But, because that's what he should have said. But no, he said specific time. There's a time. So apparently there's times for eating. There's the evening. There's the evening, and it would seem that meat is associated with the evening. And there's another time in the boker. Those are the two times for eating. It has to be that way, otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Why would Moshe say anything like that? Unless we assume that there is a time for eating. So therefore, this is a very important point, because it goes to the heart of what constitutes the idea of Zman Grama. So that's the Havamina. I would have thought, Kimitzvah Saseh Shezman Grama, dummy. That therefore this should be treated as a mitzvah say Shezman Grama. Kamash Malan, so you have to tell me it's not. So there's an interesting Havamina Maskana. Here's Birkas Hamazon, I mean that's the question. The Gemara is saying that there's a legitimate Havamina, all things being equal, to treat Birkas Hamazon as a mitzvah say Shezman Grama. It has nothing to do with the fact that there's a time limit. That there's a time limit on the mitzvah. Although I think it's worth considering. That's the question the point that was raised by Ben, that one might regard it as a mitzvah seishes man grama, because after a person finishes eating, it's not unlimited in terms of the amount of time. A person only has 72. The idea of 72 minutes is that as long as the person feels the sphias, feels the satiation of the meal. Once that passes, it's not even 72 minutes. It's just that the idea is as long as you feel the satiation. But that's a general rule of thumb, that within 72 minutes, a person still experiences it. That the Gemara doesn't mention. So that has to be dealt with, why that's not the factor. And then we have to try to understand what's the idea. What is the concept? What does that mean that that there are times for eating? Make it clear. The Gemara has a serious havamina here, which is not that clear to understand categorically. But this is what it's saying. That when Moshe told the Jews that they would receive the food, he didn't just say you'll receive the food, which is what he should have said. When God gives you bread and when God gives you meat. What he did say was, when God gives you meat in the evening and bread in the morning. So if there was no concept of a time for meals, then eating is not just a haphazard thing, according to the view of the Torah. That there's a specific time. There's an evening meal and a day meal, right? Well, if that's the case, that has to be the case. Otherwise, Moshe wouldn't have expressed it this way. The point of expressing it this way is that he's addressing your issue, that we're not going to have food. So he's addressing it in the appropriate context. When you say that, you mean I'm not going to have my breakfast and I'm not going to have my dinner, so to speak. Breakfast meaning morning and dinner meaning evening. So a person eats it at certain times. Well, if a person eats certain times, so then this and the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon only comes about through Achila, so then there's an element of time here. It's time-bound. So one answer is that even though it expires, doesn't mean that the chiyuv is based upon time. Things exist in the realm of time, but that's not the time, that's the issue. It means to say that this mitzvah depends upon a certain state. When v'achalta, v'savata, u'v'erachta. When you eat v'savata and become satiated, then you must bless. Now, of course, halachically, it could have been constructed in two ways. And that is that the chiyuv is the svius. The chiyuv is the svius. The machayev is the svius. And the chiyuv exists upon the person irrespective of the status for you. That's a nice point over there. You could have raised that question. And if that's the case, then once a person ate, then once a person had svius, and of course the svius is the only one which came about through bread. And that's what the Torah recognizes as being the machayev. So then you could have said, so what's the difference if I'm sovei now? I had a chiyuv. I acquired that chiyuv then, and 3 weeks later, I'm still off the bench. That's not far-fetched, so to speak. Halachically, it could have been. It's a legitimate idea. So that was the mechayev, but the chiyev, if a person ate a meal, had a chiyev to bench, and whatever happened, he couldn't do it, and so on, and 2 weeks later, he's able to do it, so why shouldn't he do it, benching for that meal that he had 2 weeks ago? That, in fact, is not the halacha. Even though, from the standpoint of logic, there's nothing wrong with that. What is the halacha? Only. Yeah. Oh, because the Shevach apparently has to do with the fact that you recognize the source of the Sfius, and it's only considered to be Shevach when you're actually in a state of Sfius. So it's not, it's more than that the Sfius is the Mechayev. It's more than that. But rather it's the context, it's the condition in which the Gavra can actually express the Shevach. So that's a condition of the Shevach. Once the Sfius is gone, he can't do the mitzvah. But it's not because of anything to do with time. It all has to do with spheres. That's why that is not the case. I'm just thinking of another example, just for purposes of explanation, that when you get new garments, you're supposed to make a bracha. Well, not just new garments. I mean, anything new. New things, new acquisitions, that make you happy. Kind of subjective over there too. It doesn't really have to do with the price tag. It has to do with your state. If it's something you really enjoy and makes you happy, so you make a shechiyano. If it's something that's just mundane, doesn't really make you happy, then you don't make a shechiyano. But there too, there's a certain element of expiration, because it's only when you're feeling that newness and you're feeling that simcha, after you wear it a couple of times, it just becomes ordinary, so then you don't make the bracha. If you forgot to make the bracha, you don't make the bracha anymore. So it's the same idea. It's nothing to do with time. You wouldn't say it has to do with time. And women also would have to make the bracha for those kinds of acquisitions. Okay. The problem with the Havmin over here is, well, what do you mean? How far are we supposed to take this? That there's a time for eating in the morning and a time by night and so forth. Very nice. But is there any suggestion that if the person is not permitted to eat at other times, is that the Havamina? And if a person were to eat at other times, then the mitzvah wouldn't apply? That is, if a person didn't eat, well, I guess in between, I guess in the afternoon. Because it says Boker. And it says Erev. It's clear that whenever you eat, you're chayiv in Birkat HaMazon. It's not the time. So that's what makes it difficult. Whatever you want to say, so it's fine. So it's true that there are times, that this is something which has to do with times. There's appropriate times. But the mitzvah is really not interested in the time. The mitzvah is interested in one thing. It's achila. And the mechayiv seems to be v'yachalta v'zavata v'edachta. That's the mechayiv. So now, just because you've shown that this is connected to time, so what? So what's the Havamina? In classical mitzvah seishes man grama, the time is the cause. The chi of shofar comes into being because of the time. Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Gemara has a problem with Shabbos. Mitzvah seishes kiddush. That women have to do kiddush. The Gemara has an answer. It shows you why they're mechayev. But that's the problem, because Kiddush HaYom is totally in Zman. The Zman is the Mechayev. Alright, so it's being suggested that there's a Havamin over here. There is a real Havamin over here. And at this point, our understanding of Zman Grama obviously is not complete. So, while it is true that specifically the Chiyav, that is the efficient cause, or the immediate cause, the immediate cause is not time. It is the act of eating. But if this takes place at a given time, so then there is a kviyas man to the mitzvah. So that's that is to say, indirectly, if that's the case, then Zman is contributing, is playing a role. Zman plays a role in the chiyuv. Because it may not be the direct chiyuv, but if it were the case, let's put it this way to make it simpler for you. If you are only allowed to eat at certain times, and at other times you were not allowed to eat, and eating in and of itself automatically engendered the chiyuv of birkat hamazon, so then it would be easy to say that it's man gra. That zman is an active component in the very chiyuv itself. It's true that it's not the zman per se. It's not the zman per se. But, or as is being suggested, or you could say that you could look at it that that's this is another. That since the Torah understood that people would be eating at this particular time, so this is the zman of shevach, so to speak. I don't know if I want to go that far. Because I'm not sure that you have to go that far. And to say it's man grom because the Torah designated it as yom. Yom is the zman of shevach. But it has to come back to eating because there's no real chiyuv to eat. There's no real chiyuv to eat over here. But I would say like this, that the Havmina maintains that the chiyuv, of course, comes about specifically through the act of achila. But given that the way human life is set up, there's a zman, there's a kviyas man for achila. So then, that is sufficient to render it into zman grama. Zman grama doesn't only refer to the immediate machayev, but it refers to the fact that that there's a kviyas man with regard to this mitzvah, and that's why women are pata. Women are pata because of the factor of the kviyas man of the mitzvah. Ah, it's the kviyas man. And by the way, that makes plenty of sense. Because the basic idea of women being exempted is because there are other responsibilities. Essentially, there shouldn't be a conflict between the performance of a mitzvah and the basic responsibilities of women in terms of Klal Yisrael, to be the wife, to raise the children, and so on and so forth, responsibilities with regard to the home. So those could conflict with time-bound mitzvahs, so therefore they have the option, so they're not chayiv. If the time permits and they can do it, so they do it, and they get the mitzvah, they get the full benefit of the mitzvah. Eino mitzvah v'yosa. So that's the whole idea. So that's legitimately a question now. When we talk about Zman Grama, do we mean that as long as the mitzvah has an aspect of Kviyas Man to it, even though that Kviyas Man does not stem from anything in the mitzvah itself, but stems from an accident of the mitzvah? The kviyas man doesn't stem from the birkas hamazon. That has only to do with eating. Oh, but what's the mechayev? The mechayev is eating, and eating does have an aspect of kviyas man. So if there's kviyas man, so that's man grama. That I believe is the hava amina, and that's a very very reasonable type of a possibility. But, and I think the reason why it's difficult for people to see it at the outset is because we're too geared towards the actual maskana. What indeed is the maskana? Yeah, that's man grama is referring to the essence of the chiyuv itself. That the essence of the chiyuv, the machayev per se, is the zman. The zman is the machayev factor. Here, the zman is not the machayev factor. Nothing in the zman that's machayev in birkas hamazon, right? It's just the yachila. The yachila, and the yachila is not... The achila itself is not a zman grama thing, but it has a kviyas man. So if it turns out, due to accidental reasons, that this mitzvah has a kviyas man to it, that's the hava amina. That would have been sufficient to render it as a mitzvah say shman grama. But kamash malon, this is a big kamash malon. That we're talking purely when the essence is zman grama. So of course the Rambam, getting back to the Rambam, who says that Nashim v'Avadim, now Avadim over here would have the same status. Chayavim v'Birkas Hamazon. Chayavim v'Birkas Hamazon. V'Safek Yesh B'Dava. There's a Safek. Imhem Chayavim min HaTorah. Whether they're Chayav m'Dioraisa. Lefisha Ein Kavu Alo Azman. Ah, because it doesn't have Azman to it. It's a mitzvah say Shalo Azman Gromu. So therefore they should be Chayav. O Einam Chayavim min HaTorah. Or they're not chayev midioraisa. Now the Rambam doesn't mention why they wouldn't be chayev midioraisa. There's a machlokes as to why it would be the Rabbanan. The Gemara itself raises the question on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, which we have been studying. And the Gemara says, Nashim of Birkas Hamazon Dioraisa, are women chayev mid Dioraisa in Birkas Hamazon? Because we've removed the Isman Grama issue. Oh, the Rabbanan. What the Rabbanan? And of course, Lamay Nafkamina, Lafuke Rab Yedei Chavasan. And of course, the Nafkamina would be whether they could be motzi others in their Birkas Hamazon. If it was the Araisa, then a woman could lead the benching. If it was not, if it's the Rabbanan, so they can't be motzi men who are chayev mid Araisa. So, the only question that remains is, why would you think it's the Rabbanan? So Rashi says, D'chsiv ala aretz ha-tova, asher nasan lach. That's no delacha. The second bracha is hodaya, which is essentially for the goodly land that God gave us, for Eretz Yisrael. And ha'aretz lo nitna l'nekevos l'schalek. And women were not included in the division of the land. And that's one. Then he mentioned the case of Slavchad, but that they only took the daughters of Slavchad. They only took the chelik of their father. So the land was inherited by the men. And Tosfos has a different... Tosfos questions this, because he says Kohanim and Leviim also should be involved in the same problem, because they too were excluded from the Chalukas Ha'aretz. So Tosfos gives a different answer, and he says, Mishum d'chsiv al brischa shechasamta b'fsareinu, v'yal torascha sheli maratano. That's also part of Nodlecha, the Hodoya, and the Gemara does say that whoever didn't include that, whoever omits Bris and Torah from Nodlecha is not Yotzei. So, Birkas HaMazon must include that. As the Tosfos himself quotes, if you ever read Lekaman, Mishloam Bris v'Torah, the Birkas HaMazon, one who omits Bris and Torah from Birkas HaMazon, lo Yotzei dechavaso. Did not fulfill their obligation. So he says, this is the boy of Ahash to come Boyale, and now the Gemara is asking, Kivin de la Muslimim of Bris for Torah, since they can't mention Bris and Torah because they're not in the mitzvah. Obviously, Bris doesn't apply to them, and Torah they're pata from. Lohavu elamid Rabbanan. So therefore, you should say it's the Rabbanan. Or Dilma, or perhaps Kivin de la Shaykh Behu, that. Since it's simply, they're not excluded, it's just not applicable to them, Havishaper Dioraisa. That is to say like this, that they're not, you don't have the problem of Kol Shlo Amar. He's basing it upon the halacha that whoever omitted Bris and Torah didn't fulfill his obligation. So then he's saying that, well, what about women? Oh. No? That's Tosfos's way of understanding it, that this is not a problem if they omit because it doesn't apply to them. It's only saying that those for whom this hodaya applies, because it's a din in hodaya, that when you give hodaya, you have to give hodaya for the essentials. It's of course for the land, but then bris and Torah. So if you fail to give hodaya for bris and Torah, you're lacking in the whole idea of the hodaya. So on the one hand, some women aren't in that category. So that's Tosfos' question, that is it only if it applies to you, and then it's a defect because you didn't give Hodaya? Well, no, it doesn't matter whether it applies to you or not. It's essential. That constitutes the bracha. So it has to be included, whether it applies to you or not. If that's the case, so then women could not fulfill the mitzvah properly. Because they can't give the Hodaya on Bris and Torah. All right, I'm just explaining it. This is pure descriptive. It's not definitive. If you want, you could look into it further on your own. But that's just to help you understand what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam just mentions that it's a suffix. Because the difference would be, Lefichach ein motzin es hagedolim yidei chavasan. Therefore, they cannot facilitate. They can't be the ones. You can't rely. You can't just listen to a woman benching and say amen and be fulfill the mitzvah of that because it's a suffix, whether she's chayev midi or isa. Aval haketanim chayev mbirkas hamazon midivrei sofrim, but chachav at the ketanim are chayev mbirkas hamazon midirabbanan kidei lachanchan b'mitzvos, because of chinuch. So there could be a difference between the status of women and the status of ketanim. Okay, of course, women have to bench. Women have to bench because it's a suffix. Now, second halacha. Shlosha shel achlu pas ki echad. Three who ate pas ki echad. Chayavin levarach birkas hazimun. They're obligated to recite the birka hazimun. So zimun is not just a matter of invitation, so to speak, of summons, of summoning people, but it's summoning through a bracha. The ezuhi birkas hazimun. And what is the birkas hazimun? So the first thing we see is that the chi of zimun means to summons in a manner of bracha. What is it? Im hayu ha'ochle mishlosha arasara, if the people who are eating, you see the amount of people is very significant also. From 3 to 10. Echad mehem, mevarech echad mehem, so one of them is mevarech. The Omer, and he says, nevarech shachal mishalo. Va'kol onin, so he summons them and he says, let us bless the one from whose food we ate. Va'kol onin, and everybody answers, varech shachal mishalo b'tuvchayinu. They all recite, Baruch Shechal Mishalo, blessed is the one whose food we have eaten, and through whose goodness we live. V'hu Chozer Mavarech, and he repeats what they said, Baruch Shechal Mishalo, U'batu V'chayinu. So that's Birkas HaZimun. Is that the end of the story? Is this what it's talking about, that three who ate together have to recite this bracha, and that's it, that's the end of the story of Zimun. Go to the next halacha. Halacha Gimel. The Achar Kach, and afterward, Omer, he, the leader, says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hazanah Salam Kulo Butuvo, Ad Shegomer Arba Brachos, until he concludes four brachos, meaning including Hatova HaMetiv. Vehein Onin Amen Achar Kol Bracha Ubracha. And they answer Amen after each and every bracha. So here we see that there are two elements. I mean, there's really one element. There's really one element of Zimun. Actually, descriptively, you'd say there's two parts to Zimun. One is the first part, the summons through Nevarech and the response, summons and response. But then the Rambam adds something else. And says that he continues. Normally, you bench two people, for example. You finish the meal, you don't have the Navarach thing at all. And then each person benches separately. Here, it's a new kind of a benching. One person says the bracha. Only one person benches. The others listen. Now, he doesn't spell it out, but it means look word for word. You have to listen word for word. And then you have to answer amen at the end, which is a departure from the ordinary way that we would bench. So, given that these are the two components, what is the definition of Zimun that emerges? And as I mentioned it before, there is an element of controversy in terms of practice. Most people, according to the Rambam, when they do Zimun, do not do it properly. We're not going into all the issues as to what the reasons are, but generally speaking, it's not done this way. In most shuls and most homes, when you have a zimun, they just do the first part, and then each person benches by himself. Or they all sing together, or whatever the case may be, but that's not what the Rambam said. But we have not really defined zimun as it is according to the Rambam.